eyes are dry, and my faith is old. My heart is hard, and my prayers are cold. Yet I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, or your spirit of love. Now wash me anew in the wine of your faith is old. My heart gets hard, and my prayers are cold. Yet I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Lord, soften it up with your oil and wine. The oil is you, oh, your spirit of love. Now wash me anew in the wine of your blood. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Lord, soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, or your spirit of love. Now wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Wash me anew in the wine of your blood.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Brian and Carol, for leading us to the throne room each and every service over the past week and a half. Extreme talent in there. Miss Carol is very talented at the piano, and her voice is sweet and lovely. And Brian, your voice is just so pure and powerful. But what I've appreciated most out of both of you is not the talent, but the spirit that you bring to the stage and preparing for the service and leading us all into the spirit and presence of God. Let's show how much we appreciate them and their service to us this week. Okay, from that very serious to this, what have y'all done to the septic tanks this year? I think we had five that we had to work on. One, okay, we'll handle two, but five? All right, so I've heard several times over and over and over again for year after year after year, every time I get in a microphone, Wayne has no filter. I would like to enter into evidence exhibit A this moment. Moving on. Announcements really quick. Today at 3:30, we have board meeting in the children's room as usual. And then our service tonight will be led by Reverend Charles Jones will be in concert. And then Dr. Doug Carter will finish out our encampment with another great message. Brother Jay, I'm looking forward to this message that you have this morning on heaven. You've been working it up, so I'm expecting like this big, it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. How was the banana pudding yesterday? All right. Let's all stand and we'll open the service with prayer. If you look over here on the side, you'll see our evangelist for next year. Dr. Joe Carter is, Dr. Joe Harmon, sorry. Dr. Joe Harmon was my pastor growing up. He has preached here before. He teaches online courses. He has taught at several different universities, world religion and Bible studies of all different kinds. So he'll be our Bible teacher. And then Reverend Corey Clark is a young guy. I think you'll love him. I think you'll really enjoy him. He is an understudy of Stephen Manley. And so he would tour with Stephen Manley at some different camp meetings and stuff like that. So I think you'll really enjoy Corey Clark next year. Make sure that you come and hear them as they teach and lead us. And then Tab Beechler has been here before. He will lead us in worship. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for another morning, beautiful, beautiful morning to worship you. I thank you so much for all that are still here, still wanting more of your presence, still wanting more of your word. And so, Father, I pray that you meet us here this morning and speak directly to us. It's in your Son's powerful name we pray. Amen.
You may remain standing if you would. Hey, this is the last morning. You can sit down tomorrow morning, okay? Watch your cartoons or whatever you do on Saturday morning. It's been fun to worship with you this week. We'll start this morning with a song that talks about this week. It has been victory in Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, there you are. Okay. And I heard about his healing of his precious blood, revealing how he made the lame, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Then somehow he sought me. And plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. The crystal sea, about the angels singing, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story, old redemption story. Some sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Let's continue worshiping by singing. Come, come, let us, oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing that again. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, I'll praise his name forever. I'll praise his name forever. I'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Let's get the ushers come forward for this morning's offering. We are into the 60s now, so that's a praise. Thank you for giving, and thank you for all that you've given to the camp. We still have some more to raise. I would challenge you to maybe make a monthly pledge by filling out the envelope that's in front of you so that you can continually give throughout the year and to support our year budget. We have 109 youth shares that we did this year, so that's another praise. And about some more missionary offering came in, so I'm not quite sure where we are, but it is somewhere above $35,000. So thank you for giving to all of that. Remember, there's also the Potter's House that you can donate to by scanning the code that'll appear on the screen. Jesse, will you pray for the offering this morning?
Heavenly Father, as we come before you on this last day of camp, I just ask that you continue to open our hearts for what's going to be preached today, Lord. I just want to pray for this last little bit of this camp budget that we need to raise. Give it to us faithfully so that we continue this camp for many, many years to come. I pray, Jesus.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, but you rescued.
the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. But you are the always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And you give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Now, Almighty, Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, and we're falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. Oh, and you are the one that we hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Oh, and you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. And you give healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Wonderful, merciful
I can be on yours, I guess, right now.
That's what we'll do. I've come up every time when I've spoken, and I have thanked Brian for his heart and ability and worship and leading us to the throne. This morning, I asked him specifically not to sing a song that would wow us, because it's going to be a big letdown in about 3 or 4 minutes of what's fixing to happen. And you didn't do it. You came right up here and disobeyed. I tell you what, I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. You know, it's the pleasantries. I've come to love Brian. I really have, and his wife too. And she left. She's pretty much like my wife. About halfway through the encampment, she left him, and Suzanne left me and went to Lake Mary. And she strolls in every now and then when it's eating time. And if I got to go to service before, I'll do that. But seriously, what treasure time her and Abby and Zane have had at Lake Mary. But Tracy came to me beginning of camp and said, "Brother Jay, we sing." And the more I sat in that air conditioning in that room, that cave I've lived in that's been glorious with all that air conditioning, I run it so well it broke yesterday and they had to put another one in. So anyway, I don't think we ever cut it off, but anyway, turned it down. But Tracy asked me to sing. And of course, this will not be a unfamiliar song to any of you, but I debated doing two or three different ones, and I really didn't have the voice yesterday. I told Tracy, I said, "I don't see it, but feel better today. We'll see." But Brian's voice never cracks. Have y'all noticed? It's just like he just opens his mouth and it comes out. If mine cracks, it's because of, you know, 9 sermons in 7 days or whatever. And I'll tell you, it didn't hit me until this morning. It's amazing how you live in almost a fog with all that's going on. But I didn't realize how these lyrics are so accurate to where we are. So I hope some of you have heard this song so much you could sing it probably better than I. But I don't know. I went back one time and tried to figure out how many times I'd sung this at a funeral that was connected to Taylor County, and I lost count. It seemed like there for a while it was like people I didn't even know that had heard me sing the song. But I would say I've gotten at least 12, probably 18 texts at least. And some of them, because I talked about it with one pastor, he didn't even know I'd ever sung this song. But he sent me a text shortly after Mallory left this world, and all it said in quotations was, "The anchor holds." And I thought, and I said, "There's no," and I asked him later, and he didn't even have a clue. But then, of course, several of you have, but it does. All right. Brian, I can't believe I'm fixing to sing after you. And I'll tell you this, folks. Go ahead. It's all right. If you want to pray, man, the altar's always open. Amen. Let's do it again. All right. If you want to pray.
Yeah.
I faced the raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty my eyes have seen. It was in the night, through the storm of my life, that's when the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I faced the raging seas, the anchor holds of the storm.
Glad that's done. That was my prayer, that at least I would be able to talk afterwards. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to Paul's epistle to Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to look at the first four verses of Colossians chapter 3. And I want to share with you some thoughts today about heaven. You know, Brother Doug, I have never doubted that God is God that I know of. I've never doubted his omniscience. I've never doubted his plan. I think God's ways and thoughts, as Isaiah said, are so much higher than ours. But if I've ever seen a few days in my life that I know that were ordained of God, it's this encampment. I start from being able to be with you. I mean that from the depths of my heart. But then I've also, as we've said in the Bible studies, it's just amazing how you and I talked before, and it really didn't fit, but it really fit when it seems like everything is just bounced off of the other. And I know sometimes that's natural when you speak with someone else, but as I said at the outset, I'm honored. I do. It's almost comical when it's referenced, like last night, that they put you and me in the same sentence, okay? He ought to at least have paused talking about who he was following preaching, but seriously, I've counted that as an honor. Brian, same goes for you. I mean that, just, you know. It's almost, I don't know, sinful's not the right word, but it's almost not right that God gave you that and he didn't give it to me. I just want you to know that, all right? And then you sing in other languages and all kind of stuff. It's amazing. And I just wish I had it all videoed where I could watch it over and over. And Wayne, we've had a good time, but I want to tell you something. I appreciate your realness. What was the word you used up here a while ago about the septic tanks? You are too real. What was the word you said? Unfiltered. Well, I don't mean this like righteous and unrighteous, but I like unfiltered. I think we got enough people that are stiff-necked and, you know, polished and look like, you know, other things that I could say that I would be unfiltered if I said it. But I appreciate your heart and your leadership and your love for every aspect of the camp and people. And I've enjoyed those 17 announcements every service. I just want you to know this. But what a great time. It seemed like it was so long, and this is it for me, and then Brother Doug tonight, and the last day. But I hope you don't store away the last day. Can it hurry up and go by so we can go eat lunch? Maybe God's got something special for you. I have a deeper appreciation now of heaven than ever. It just sounds like a story that you don't have to tell about. And I've got to wrestle with this with the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do with all this? But it's amazing that everything that I think about in a given day now ends up in heaven. It's just not my youngest child's there. It's not my mom and dad are there. It's not the other things that have gone on. Maybe it's because I turned 60 years old in October. I don't have many more years, I don't think. Brother Doug, he's doing good. I know I at least got 20-something left. But he's probably taking care of himself a little better than I have. But I know I'm maybe in the last quarter of this thing. Might. Both my parents passed in their mid-80s, so I'm very much almost in the last quarter. So I catch myself thinking about heaven a lot more. And I've coined this saying. It's not original to me. It's an old song that says, I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. So when I think about heaven, it's very real. But I want to show you some scripture today. It's pretty unique. Is that that's the way we're supposed to think. I used to have a saying that some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. And I would almost, it was somebody who would talk about heaven all the time. I said, you need to get a life and start living in this life. But then when you start analyzing the Word of God, we're supposed to be thinking over there. I want to show you some things that are very, it has matter involved in it. But Brother Brother Doug just, it just blew me away. I said, please don't stay on that book long. When the tragedy occurred, one of the things I wanted to know as a daddy, I wanted to know my daughter was okay. That sounds terrible. You've been preaching out of God's word for 30-something years, almost 40 years, and you think you don't know what's going on, but you don't. It's very vague if you think about it. If you go and read all about heaven, there's a lot of it that's very vague. I'm going to tell you where our vagueness starts, and Brother Doug said this. It starts with no sin. We have no way to describe what heaven's going to be like when we take sin out. There's so many of those different perspectives about heaven that we can't even comprehend what it's going to be like. That's the exciting part about it. And so I started out, and I voiced that. I said, man, I got to do some reading about heaven. And Shantina Sanders, one of my favorite folks in the world, I get a book. Lo and behold, I already had this book in my library. I thought I did, but I couldn't put my hands on it. And it's Randy Alcorn's Heaven. Brother Doug, that thing's a textbook now. That's not for the faint of heart reading, okay? Reading is a discipline of mine. I had to stay with it. I was motivated. And he said some things now. He's sort of out there a little bit, too. He'll stretch your mind on heaven. But I was looking for some things. I knew what a lot of the scripture said, but I was looking for some things that would be salve to my soul. I'm quite honest with you. Not only that, but I've read some other books and continue to. I have a thirst, and God's assured me. I just want to know that my youngest is okay. She, you know, many of the people at Bethel will remember the first 2 or 3 years of her life. She didn't even know she had a daddy. I mean, can I just be transparent with you? She would look at me like stranger danger, okay? She was an appendage off the side of her mama's leg. It was like Suzanne had another body part. I can remember like yesterday, we had moved out to Wesley Church Road, moved the parsonage, great story, unbelievable, the church and all of that, and just blessings. And they came by the church one day, and we're headed home, and I was there, and they walked in, and Suzanne said, hey, Mallory, you want to ride home with Dad? And she said, yes. I think if I wouldn't have been sitting in my chair in my office, I'd have fell out. But then began a great relationship that continues on now. But when you think about those kind of things, I just wanted to know that she was okay. God has assured me those types of things. But I want to share some things with you today about heaven. If you're able, would you stand and honor God's word? Colossians chapter 3. Oh, it's going to be good. Can't wait. Brother Wayne's even excited about it. Verse number 1 of Colossians 3, verse number 1 through 4 says this, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, meaning converted, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. We could preach 10 minutes on this, and every person in this building ought to come to the altar, hadn't we? Of how we let the earthly get all jacked up about what's going on around us versus, as we said earlier in the week, of what's going on within us. For you have died, there's a good word for you. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. One more now, it's pretty good. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, Brother Doug, there you go. You talked all about today. When he's revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I'm glad I get to preach this. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord. Use us. Lord, I just pray. Here's a great prayer. Lord, I pray before we go to lunch today, there won't be one person in this room that's not ready to go. They're not waiting for a better day, a better opportunity. Today's the day that they can know with assurance. The scripture says we have a witness within ourselves. God, I pray that with assurance that we know that if we take our last breath, we will be ushered into the glory of Almighty God. That blesses my heart to preach this today. Bless it, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, I'm going to scare you to death. You ready? My introduction is going to be about 20 minutes long. The body of what I want to say is about 5 minutes, so that make you feel a little better. And we're going to get out of here, all right? Listen, when I think about this, I just want to share some things with you. The first thing I want to tell you is much of what I'll share with you today, I preached 8 days before Mallory left this world. Much of what I'm preaching on today. I look back on it and go, I think all of that study, God was preparing me, preparing us, preparing our church, preparing the community. Still blown away when I think about a lot of those things. Let me give you some highlights of heaven today. Oh, listen, the first thing I want to tell you about heaven is it's not that far. It's not that far. One of the things Randy Alcorn talks about is how it's just right there from the standpoint that God doesn't have to go galaxies and galaxies to get here. He's right there. The spirit world is right here. If God speaks to your heart today, it's right here. It's an extension of God's presence and who he is. It's not that far. Oh, listen, the whole idea of heaven and earth, Jesus connected both of them. That's another one. He came here. Then he went there. And it says one day he's coming back. Brother Doug did a great job of that. And I love that. I know we have kindred spirits on a lot of different levels. But you know what? If I'm going to major on something, I want to major on a major instead of majoring on a minor. You know, we all study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. God expects us to study, you know, dig in it. If you disagree with something this week, then go find out. Don't take what somebody said. Don't take what I said or Brother Doug or whoever. But go look at it. Get in the book. But I know this, he did come. And he left. And he's coming back. You can put in whatever you want to, but I know it's coming. I love saying this saying. I'll say it a bunch of the sermon probably. I'm assured for heaven as if I was already there. Someone said, how do you know? It's because of what he did, not what I did. I trust and depend on him right now. Oh, listen, he's gone to prepare a place. Wow. And I know this about it. It's going to be a place without sin. I love all the characterizations of it. You know, there's going to not even be street lamps there because the glory and the light of God is going to be the light there. That amazes me. All the things that you see, it's unique. When I think about those kind of things, one of the things that Randy Alcorn talked about, and I had preached it for years. Let me tell you what heaven's going to be. Heaven's going to be the Garden of Eden. That's what it's going to be. We're going to have things to do, Brother Doug. You alluded to that. Some people freak out with that. They think heaven's going to be vacation at the beach or the mountains or something and no more work. It's going to be different. I think tiredness, sweat, I can't wait. I sweat like nobody I've ever known. But I don't think I'm going to sweat much in glory. That's one of my personal views. But we're going to have things to do. We're going to have personal things to do. We're not thinking about, if you've been faithful over a few things here, I'm going to make you ruler over many. So we know they're going to be positioned. We know there's going to be those that were last going to be first. We have those kind of references in the scripture. But I'm really keen on this thing, and I preached it years ago, and people used to look at me sort of strangely, but it's in the Word of God. It says there's going to be a new earth. And John saw, and I'm going to talk about the Revelator a good bit today. John saw the New Jerusalem coming down. I don't know if you've ever heard it preached or done the specs on the New Jerusalem, but it's 1,500 miles square. Now, I don't have a problem with right and left, forward and backward, but it also says it's that-a-way. And some of you, well, I don't understand that. Well, bless God, you're finite. If God can create the earth from nothing, and he can spin the world on its axis and it stays there. And he can throw the stars into the galaxies and they stay there. Bless God if he wants a 1,500 square city so that it's the Mecca of all the new creation. Bless God, God can do it. And he's not going to have sweat on his brow when he creates it. But he saw that come down. So there's going to be a new earth. I believe this everything about me. I believe we're going to be on the new earth just like we are here. And Randy Alcorn does a phenomenal job in this, and I hope I can frame it quickly for you. He said, God has never let the enemy get away with anything. Nothing. When he decided to be God, he cast him out of heaven. You can't stay here. And a third went with him. We heard that last night. But he also said, God redeemed mankind because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. So God has redeemed mankind from their sin, gave them an opportunity. Not that they would be saved, that they might be saved because the choice is ours. We've heard that almost every day in this encampment. But it gets better than that. Not only is he going to redeem mankind, he's not going to give the enemy any play and any where he can throughout all eternity go, hey, I won with earth. I won with earth. I believe with every fiber of my being, God's going to redeem this earth just like he redeemed humanity so that the devil doesn't win anything when it's all said and done. He messed it up. But he's not going to have the pride of being able to say he did it forever because God's going to redeem it. I believe this earth, this new earth, is where we're going to dwell. Now, I don't know. I've read enough and some other things that I'll leave that to other people. I have a young lady that she passed away just a year or two ago in my church. That went through a horrible accident right after we moved to Mississippi. It was really the first family that I ever prayed with at the hospital. That quickly after we moved there. Later on, months after she survived the accident, she was paralyzed from her neck down. She had some movement, but she had a lot of paralysis. She wanted to see me, and I went to see her, and she said, I saw Jesus at my accident. And the story goes that 2 weeks before, she asked her that she had two angels, people that appeared. That's another thing that God's done with me with Mallory, is that she had two people appeared before her and told her, said, Gabby, it's going to be all right. And one of them was a young man that was playing with a pistol, and it went off, and it killed him, and he lost his life. And another one was like a grandmother figure that she had down the road in her house. Mama Reno and Christopher Lewis are their names. I'll never forget their names as long as I have faculty to remember. She got out of bed and went to her mama's bed 2 weeks before her accident and said, Mama, do you think I'm crazy? This young lady had some learning disabilities, so her mama thought she was talking about that. And she said, Gabrielle, I don't think so. No, you're fine. And she said, well, Mama Reno and Christopher Lewis, they were at the foot of my bed in the middle of the night, and they appeared and said, it's going to be okay. She said, her mother Lisa said, I just sort of put that away in my mind. 2 weeks later, she was in this wreck, and there was a man that walked out. He was an EMT that lived right next door, right where the accident happened. And he walked out, and he knew her, and he said, Gabrielle, hold on, it's going to be okay. And when he said it's going to be okay, immediately she saw Christopher Lewis and Mama Reno, and they ushered her into heaven. And she tells a story about for what all she saw. And to her dying day, if she was having a bad day, I'd say, what about heaven? And she'd get the biggest smile. I'd ask her, Gabrielle, you want to stay? And the Lord spoke to her heart and told her, said, you're not going to. She saw the Lord. She didn't see his face. She saw the Lord. And the Lord said, you're not staying here. I want you to see what it's like, but you're going to go back. Your mom and dad need you. And she said that to her dying day. I can remember when she passed, her funeral was heaven 2.0. I said, she's already seen it. As I already alluded to, every time she was down and out, I said, Gabby, what about heaven? And she would start smiling. She told me descriptive things that I will never, ever forget. I had Don Piper at the church, just like we had him at Bethel. I brought him to Lakeshore on a Sunday morning. I had it set up in our prayer room that he was going to be sitting in there, and I was going to wheel Gabrielle in and let them talk about heaven. And I made sure not many other people were in there because I didn't want them to mess up what I was going to watch. And I listened to two people talk about what they had seen in heaven. And I felt like I was in heaven, Brother Doug. Why God allowed it, Gabrielle and I talked about it. I don't know why God allowed her to see that and for what reasons. I don't know Don Piper, why he went through all this, but I know it's real. And someone said, how do you know you're real? You've never been there. It's by faith, you know. I always like to tell people, I've never been to Australia either, but I think it's down there. I do. When I think about those kind of things, some of the preaching I've done along these lines is, not too long ago, I preached along, right here, it's back in March, I think. I talked about the gain of glory. Chase this rabbit for a minute. For years and years, I've done laundry in my house. I do less now than ever, thank the Lord. But there was a time where I did 95, 96 loads out of 100 at our house. And there's a whole other story goes with that. We don't have time for all that. But I love Gain detergent. They come out with this liquid stuff that you put in detergent in laundry, and it's terrible. I'm sorry. And if you have stock in some of those, I apologize. But I love Gain powder. I do. And just a few weeks ago, I had been to Sam's, and they have a big one. I mean, like 100 and something loads, that big square box. You can't get it Dollar General much anymore. I'll tell you this, too, another one about heaven. You can't go to heaven unless you go through Dollar General. I just want you to know that, too. But Dollar General, I mean, I get my stuff there, and then we go to Sam's. But what happened is I got a big box of Gain detergent, and I put it back in the back of my truck down on the floorboard, and I really forgot about it for the rest of the day. And I was in and out of my truck, and every time I opened my door to get in that truck, I mean, that Gain had taken over. When I tell you, not in a bad way, it really made my truck smell better. It probably, Suzanne gets in it, she says, I need something like that. But anyway, but it took over. And I began, I was preaching along these lines about heaven, and I thought about the Gain of glory. I thought about heaven should be such in our life that it takes over, that it changes our perspective. And I need this. I need this sermon today. Is that when we get in the doldrums and we start thinking about life and all the things, we got to be remembered that reminded that this is not the end. Amen? This is not the end. The reason you need to know Christ is to assure yourself of what's coming. And the reason you need the blood applied and you need to make the right choices and you need to follow through with your relationship with the Lord as far as He wants to take you and be obedient is because there's a heaven to gain at the end of all this. The gain of glory. I thought about this, but I told you the introduction is 20 minutes. But thanks be to the Lord, it's only 5 minutes of text, okay? You know what I think about heaven? I think about higher understanding. I don't understand why God would take a 23-year-old and leave a 59-year-old. I don't understand that. I don't. Mm-mm. There's a lot of other things I don't understand. But what I do know about heaven is we're going to have a higher understanding. And there's a lot of people that, and I grew up with this, and probably been faulty of preaching it a long time ago, is that people talking about, well, we're not going to remember this and remember that. Let me tell you something. I think we're going to remember a lot more than you think we're going to remember. And let me just, I'll just highlight it quickly for you. If we're going to worship Him forever, okay? If we're going to worship Jesus Christ forever because He's the Redeemer, He's the Messiah because of the atonement, His blood, I got one question for you. If we don't remember what He atoned us from, how will we faithfully worship Him forever? You got to remember where you came from to celebrate where you are. Now, some of us say, well, Brother Jay, that doesn't sound like heaven. Yes, it does, because God brought us somewhere to somewhere else, and we're celebrating the victory. This thing, we've come up with these crazy, oh, we're not going to remember. Oh, I think we're going to remember a lot, because how can I worship Him if I don't remember what He redeemed me from? I don't think we're going to spend time on that because we're going to have a higher understanding. It's a simple example. I've been laying in that bed a few times, and I don't know who comes by about 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm just glad the wood's back there. I think they'd run into that building. I didn't think cars could go that fast in the middle of the night. And I mean, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where are they going so fast? And I think about that bridge right down there, and then you just have bad thoughts. I'm talking about flying down the road. Well, if we came in this encampment this morning, listen to me. If we came in this encampment this morning and we said, listen, there was a terrible accident out there on 208. Somebody lost their life. They were doing 150 miles an hour down 208. They speculate because of the wreckage. Us and our finite earthly mind, how fast we'd go on to something else. We'd hear that tragedy, we'd pray a few times, and then we'd be on. And that's in our finite earthly understanding. When I get to heaven and God can tell you exactly why it happened and when it happened and what He allowed to happen and all the characteristics of it, that's going to be okay because we're going to have a higher understanding in our perfect body. And I believe if we can do that in here, how much more are we going to be able to do that in the eternal? Perfect example, Brother Doug and I have a lost friend. We've witnessed to him, we witnessed to him, and both of us left this world, and he did too, and never received Christ. That sounds pretty sad, doesn't it, Brother Doug? But in the spirit world, I would think if God himself said, Brother Doug, yeah, I just want you to know that I dealt with him 256 times about his need for me in his life, and he rejected me. I believe in my higher understanding, that's going to be okay with me. Not that it's good, but that I understand God and His sovereign and His grace extended opportunity there. So I believe that. Another one I think about is there's not going to be any more curse. And I'm not talking about cursing, the curse. I challenge you to go read about curses and blessings in the Word of God, but no more curse. From the time of the garden to now, we live under a curse. I think somebody said it earlier. That's the reason the baby does what he does. That's the reason the small child has a propensity to go do those kind of things. We live under curse, but the curse will be no more. In eternity, I think about the unity of all believers. I don't know if you know this, and I don't want to hurt anybody the last time I'm up here, but you know, church folks can be pretty mean sometimes. Now, nobody that I'm thinking of is at Bethel Church that way. I just want y'all to know that. Seriously, nobody laughs, so they really think I'm thinking about them. But you know, church work. Isn't it going to be great when God, for all eternity, takes care of all of that? I've seen pastors almost look like they're going to get in a fisticuff because of their theology being different. All I would tell folks is get in the book. Not that we have it right, you know. I appreciate it again. Brother Doug alluded to that again. Is that there's different beliefs we have in eschatology, which is means the study and understanding of the end times. People have different beliefs of that. But ultimately, think about heaven, the unity of all believers. And the last, which is huge, we love this word. It had to match because they're all used. But there will be a constant unction, constant presence of Almighty God there. I can't even imagine, comprehend what that will be like. All right? Now, that's what I want to share with you. When I think about that, when I think about heaven, I think about heaven and earth reminders. I just want to give you some things. One is this. That text says, set your minds. Not too long ago, Zane and I and some others, we opened up a fence into a couple of acres of pasture, and so we put a gate up. So the calves we had in that area could go out, young animals could go out into that. But I didn't put that pole in the ground with no quickcrete. Maybe it was a little overkill. I put 160 pounds of quickcrete in there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some don't have a clue. That's all right. You can just shake your head, nod your head like you do. It's all right. But it's these bags you buy and you add water to it and it becomes concrete. I didn't put that pole. I didn't just dig that hole and put that pole in there and come back the next day to put the gates. You got to do something. You got to set that post. Justin was there. He put up structures. The cows all tore them down. But anyway, he put it all up where it would stay plumb and level and all that. We let it stay there a day or two. Then we came back and drilled the holes and we hung the gate. And today, hopefully, it's still swinging. You know why? Because we set the post. We just didn't drop it in the ground. Set your minds on things above. If I would say one thing the Lord's done with me through all this, it's a whole new way of thinking. If I'm going to be what God needs me to be, let me tell you what happens. I have to walk away from environments that don't bring glory and honor to Him. I got to turn the channel. And I think people miss this a lot. I really do. People think, well, God's going to do His part. Well, God expects me to do my part too. Paul is talking to church folks. He's talking to camp meeters and meeting folks, and he's saying this to them, set your mind on the things above. And watch the rest of it, and not on earthly things. I want to ask you a question, and we can go from the oldest to the youngest. How often does the last thought that you have on your mind when you go to bed, how often is it about an earthly thing versus an eternal thing? What we got to get done, and how did the day go, and all that kind of assessment that we're doing, maybe something that we got to deal with the next day. And we go to bed frustrated because of the earthly. Well, you know what God's doing with me? Jay, I'll take care of the earthly. But I need you to set your mind on things above. It almost sounds like it's just preaching. No, when you're living where we're living, that's all you got. The second, our position in Christ, when I think about this, just another reminder. This life has to be second. How often we've allowed the earthly to affect our life in such a way that even God can't bring glory and honor to Himself. I'm talking about Jay. Brother Doug again alluded to it. I thought, man, this is just all over it today. John the Revelator. You know, this hit me some time ago, probably a year or so. I was reading Revelation, and I thought about all the things that John saw. I thought it was neat today. Brother Doug said it must have been a B-2, Brother Doug. And, you know, the Iranians that think they're in control and they're doing all that, and they didn't even know they were coming. And all the defense system, when I went to Israel a few years ago, it was just amazing to see that little bitty spot in the ground on this whole big old globe, and yet it ends up being the center of everything. I mean, I promise you, if you went to Israel, you would walk, and if you went from one side to the other, up, down, sideways, you would go, and there's somewhere in there you'd go, this is it? You mean this is it? Turn on CNN, Fox News, all the news channels, something goes on, it's Israel this and Israel that, and you think, wait a second, that's it? And yet God said, these are my people. Don't ever forget that, church. The day that America, I felt like we were just, you didn't come to hear this, but I'll throw this out anyway. I thought we were very, very close just a little while ago of telling Israel we won't have anything to do with you. Let me tell you something. That day ever comes for America. I don't know if bread lines won't be happening the next day. You talk about the love of God for us. But John the Revelator, the point I want to make is this. He saw it all. He saw this life, and he saw the life to come. He saw this life, Brother Doug, and he also saw the tribulation. He saw all of that stuff. And it's very descriptive in whatever translation you read. And you know what he surmised out of all that? Everything that he saw. You know what John saw? What John said? Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's amazing to me. And the last, I think that who we are, and I want to end with this, but I really think it's the posture of who we are is where I want to end. So if you have a copy of God's Word, you're taking notes, I invite you to turn, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21 is where I want to end what I have to share with you at this encampment. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. How the New American Standard says this. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars on the earth, dismay among nations. In perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fading from fear and expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Watch this. But when these things began to take place, straighten up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That's what I got to say to you. And God's dealt with me a lot about this. I hope I can stand right here and be a little closer to you. It was probably 4 weeks ago. I didn't think you could hurt any more than I was hurting. I made the statement to a couple of people that I love dearly, that are close to me, that I said, I could see not preaching anymore. And that wasn't said. There's been times in my life we say stuff so that we want to reply. We want somebody to feed our ego. Well, how'd you think the sermon went? Well, they're not going to tell you it's the worst sermon they ever heard, okay? So we know there's some kind of flesh going on here instead of spirit. But from the depths of my heart, I was thinking, I just can't see it. I got nothing to tell anybody. Still feel a lot that, you know, this was sort of going to be the hide it go kind of thing. And Suzanne and I will assess this probably riding tomorrow. But I remember thinking, man, just down and out. One person said, going nowhere in a hurry. That's the way I felt. I said, just telling you. So I came to the altar the other night. I'm not down and out. I want to know what surrender looks like. Lord, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to miss it. You know, I'd like to not hurt like I hurt. But Suzanne and I are dealing with this therapy-wise right now is that it hurts my heart to think about if I don't hurt, then I'm getting further away from my child, and I don't want that. About 4 weeks ago, I was reading that Bible that I read out of today about believing. The Gospels were some of the last ones that I read. I almost read the New Testament backwards. I left Revelation to last. So I was in the Gospels, and I noticed when I read across there, maybe 4 weeks ago, I could sense the Lord when I got to that point. We said, quit looking down. Quit looking down. I wonder who today, because I knew early on was coming that I was going to end here. I wonder who today that your life, you're just looking down. I ain't got it all figured out. I don't think I'll ever have it figured out on this side. I think that I've said it for years at funerals. The greater the person, the greater the void. And Mallory was a great person in my life. She's my baby. Not taking anything away from Zane and Abby Kate. They're there too. Suzanne as well. But I want to tell you, I felt conviction come over my heart. And I could sense the Lord say, lift up your head. You know what I know? If you're looking down all the time and you got the mully grubs, and you're not looking up, you're going to have a terrible mess coming. Lift up your head. And I think God wants us all to hear this today. No matter what's going on in your life, lift up your head. You know why? Because your redemption draws near. Almost done. Lift up your head. Is there still pain? Yes. Is there still uncertainty? Yes. Are there still whys that you don't have answer for? Yes. But lift up your head. Jay, do you understand? It's just like I prayed Brother Doug the other night. Yes, this pain. Yes, where you are. I knew it was going to happen. And I'm going to bring glory out of it. But I need you to lift up your head. So if I walk around like this, you know what I know? It reminds me of the scripture that says, what man, having put his hands to the plow and looks back, is fit for the kingdom? I don't know if you know this, but I got a feeling if you got your hands on a plow and you're looking back, it's going to be a terrible looking garden. Well, maybe it's just for Jay. But God help me to come out. I'm trying. Lift up your head. I wonder how many of us right now, we got spiritual scoliosis going on because we've slumped over so long. We've given more credit to the enemy in the garden than we have at what Jesus did on the cross for us. Lift up your head. And here's the invitation. Heaven's coming. Heaven's coming. You know who's going? Somewhere in American culture, we think everybody's going. I alluded to it earlier in the week. I've been places when somebody passed away and somebody said something like this, they're better off. And I can't tell you how many times I thought, if they know Jesus, they are. If they don't know Jesus, they're not better off. Lift up your head. I wonder if there's any other sound of my voice. Maybe you put it off. You put it off the last day. Well, guess what? Today's the last day for this encampment. Maybe somebody that needs a peace bigger than you got right now. That's what I'm searching for. God, I don't want to miss what you have. But yeah, I can just sense the Lord when I study, say this. You're going to miss it if you're looking down. You're going to miss what I have for you if you're looking down. If you're all about the earthly, you're going to miss what I have for you in the eternal. You're going to miss that opportunity to witness. You're going to miss that opportunity to be what I need you to be if you're all caught up in what's going on around you. And so today, that's it. And Brian's going to sing, and nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to, if you know the ropes, maybe you're visiting for the first time here. You said, Brother Jay, I need to lift up my head. I need to trust him. I said the first service, and I'll end here. The Lord spoke to my heart on Easter Sunday morning and said, you can trust me. But I need you to believe. I'll never forget that the rest of my life, as long as I have faculty. Today, maybe there's somebody here you need to trust in. Maybe you're looking at everything going on around you. And right now, God wants you, publicly, I think, to say, God, I trust you and nobody else but you. Now, you make it what it needs to be in my life. That's what it is. Lift up your head. How about that? Heaven's coming, folks. And the life that we live until we get there, lift up your head, because our redemption is nearer today than it's ever been. Brian, the altar's yours, guys.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Calling, oh sinner, come home. And oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me.
Amen.
Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
Lord, I thank you today that you're God and we're not. Lord, for what we don't know, we stand under your shadow of Almighty, all-knowing. I thank you and I praise you that, Lord, at the end of this, good, bad, or indifferent, good days, bad days, days we don't understand, and days that are clear as a picture, there's a heaven. As Brother Doug said earlier today, that we might not understand all of it, and it seems like you left it enough, Lord, and left enough question marks for us to depend and rely on you and to stay on our face before you and stay in your word. But ultimately, we know it's very clear that if we have Jesus Christ, we win. And I thank you for what that looks like. And then the commitment level that you ask from each one of us. And Lord, when there are pitfalls and when there's hardship, it's sort of been the theme of this year. Lord, you're still asked of us the same. To walk in obedience. That we can trust your heart when we can't see your hand and we don't know your plan. And God, ultimately know that it's going to be okay. If we trust you and we believe. So Lord, there's been dozens and dozens of prayers, dozens of things. Many have shared things with us. God, I just pray that peace would be the order today. That we would know that we've touched you and that you've touched us. And God, we'll thank you and we praise you. Lord, one day there's not going to be any more of this old earth. It's all going to be new. And it's all going to be redeemed. And it's all going to be perfect. As we know, those that have gone before us are perfect even as we speak. So, Lord, continue to lead, guide, direct us, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Jay. I truly believe God has used you mightily. Over these past 8 days, you didn't put up a mask. You didn't fake it. You didn't tough it out. You were real. You were transparent. You were open. And you shared that with us. And I truly believe that God has completely ordained all of that. You've heard it over and over again, but the pairing of you and Dr. Carter and this year to me is a year at Taylor County Camp that'll have an asterisk of just how supreme and mighty God is and how his knowledge is so much higher than ours. So I think I feel led to end in a little different way. And I feel that if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be fulfilling what God is wanting us to do as a camp. And so I want to ask, Jay, if you would come to the altar and maybe your family join Susanna and Abby Kate and Zane. And we just want to pray over you and your family. As you're lifting your head, maybe we can support your chin a little bit. You've ministered to us so much, but I can't let you leave here without us ministering to you in a special way. I think you said earlier this week that that you want the pain to be for His glory. And I really think that God, you're going to see some beautiful things come out of this. Would you guys mind coming forward? Let's get everyone else that wants to come up and lay hands and minister to this family and what they have meant to us over the years and this week. I've asked Dr. Carter to lead us in this prayer. So let's join in agreement with Dr. Carter and his words to heaven.
Just pausing a moment to give everyone opportunity to gather around. It's a little difficult to get every single soul in the tabernacle almost here at the front. There's not that much space, but you're doing well. We're just crowding in. Thank you. Appreciate it. A few weeks ago in a conversation with Pastor Jay, there was some indication, not so much in what he said, but what he didn't say, that he was really struggling with whether or not he could actually come and do this. And I didn't want to overdo it. I didn't want him to think I was putting unfair, undue pressure on him. But I kind of kept pleading with him to come because I said, we need to hear you. We need to know more of the story. I said, in fact, we even need to hurt with you some. And I said, Jay, keep one thing in mind. There's not anywhere you'll go on earth that there's more people that love you than right over there in Taylor County and at Taylor County camp meeting. I said, you got a family there. Not just your Bethel people and the community people, but I said, everybody that's got anything to do with this camp loves you. And he's come and he's ministered to us. He's been anointed. God has used him. God's worked through him. He's spoken to all of us. And Jay's told me that in the midst of it all, God's also spoken to him. And it's been a healing time for him. It's been a strengthening time for him. It's been spiritual therapy for him. But oh, his ministry's been so good for all of us. We've needed it. God has ministered to us. And you know, they're going to be leaving us and going back out to Mississippi. And friends, I don't want us to forget about them. I want us to commit in our hearts that we're going to be praying for Jay and Suzanne, for Abby Kate, for Abby Kate's husband, and for Zane, the whole of the family. That we're going to be praying for them. And I want us to commit, we're going to do it every day. And without end, just keep on praying for them, lifting them, loving them, encouraging them. Maybe once in a while a phone call or just a note of encouragement or a text or a card. See, they didn't come here by accident. This was by God's design. Oh, part of it was for us, but part of it is for them. And let us minister to them. Father, I thank you that Pastor Jay decided, as you spoke to him, to come and be with us. And that Suzanne could come along, and then that later, others of the family Abby and Zane could join them. And Father, we've not just heard words that he has preached, but we've watched him. We've seen him dare to talk about joy, even when he was hurting. We've heard him dare to talk about heaven, even when the pain would want to push his chin downward. We've watched you lift his chin and help him look up. He's let us enter into what he's experiencing. And we've experienced at least some of it with him. And we're better because of it. And we've been strengthened by it. And we've been encouraged by it. We've been blessed by his faithfulness and his obedience and his openness, his honesty, his vulnerability, his willingness to hurt in front of us and not deny it. And even to say at times, I have questions. He's been real. And somehow in that realness, there's been power. There's been strength. There's been that, Lord, that you've used to minister to all of us. We thank you. And now, Lord, as they'll soon be going their way back to the place of responsibility, I pray, Father, that they'll be so keenly aware that you are with them, that your promises are true and unshakable. You will not leave them or forsake them. You will be with them even unto the end of the journey. You will not fail them. Your promises fail not. You'll be there to give comfort, to give strength, to lift their chins, to keep them looking upward, to enable them to be overcomers even on the darkest of days and in hours of pain and hours of questioning. You will be there. And Lord, I know that in the future, in spite of all the difficulty and the grief, there's going to be some really joyful days. There are going to be some mountaintop moments. A new little life is going to be coming into the family. Jay's going to go back to his church. And Lord, I believe that you're going to do some things in that church that's going to take that congregation and that local body of believers to heights of impact they've never dreamed about before. Lord, I believe the best days are ahead for that church and for Jay's ministry as a result of what he's walked through. As I read about the other night in that little letter from that dear, sweet girl over in Turkey, the one who had to leave her home in Syria and go and work among the lowest of the low and sacrifice so much, and how somehow you turned her pain into a bridge, she said, for glory. Lord, I just believe you're going to do some glorious things beyond our understanding in the weeks, months, and years that are ahead. And so, Father, we commit Jay, our brother we love so much, to you. We commit Suzanne, his sweet and beautiful wife, Abby Kate, the beautiful daughter, her hubby, the little one that's coming, their hopes, their dreams, their plans, we'd lay them out before you. And then for Zane, who is a walking miracle himself, we place him on the altar too, Lord. We pray just now you'd just open the windows of heaven and flood their hearts with peace. May your presence and your promises give them peace that passes understanding. Somehow, Lord, in the midst of it all, because you are here, may they have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, help us to be faithful to be there with them every day in our prayers and with our love and our encouragement. I pray for them. I pray for us. Bind our hearts together in love. Keep us close one to the other. Until someday we'll all be in that place where there'll be no separation. There'll be no partings. There'll be no last day when we must go in our different directions. There'll be no suffering, no grief, no pain, no tears, no sorrow, and no death. Help us to so live that we all live there forever. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.